I'll just say it for everybody's sake. I don't think I've got anything other than the sinus infection, but I'm going to wear the mask around you just in case, because I didn't have a COVID test or anything at home, but I've had all my shots. But my sinuses started draining on Friday night. It's affecting my voice and my sniffles. I'm going to take that precaution, but I think I'm far enough away from everybody up here that we'll do this. The Bible reading this morning is Matthew 12, 33 through 35. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit, you brood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of what fills the heart, and the good man brings out his good treasure, what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. Of course, this is a New Testament passage, even though we're studying the Proverbs. And in it, Jesus taught that what is exhibited in our lives originates in our heart. So if we want our lives to be pleasing to God, we must watch what we allow to dwell within us, because that will affect what comes out of us in our daily lives. That is also affirmed in the Proverbs. Proverbs 4, verse 23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Proverbs 27, 19, as in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. And so as we continue in this study of themes from the Proverbs, we want to examine what the Proverbs have to say about man exercising control over his heart and thus exercising control over his life. The English word that is associated with this idea is the word of self-control. Thus, this morning we're going to talk about what the Proverbs have to say about self-control. The Oxford English Dictionary defines self-control as the ability to control one's emotions, desires, reactions, especially in difficult situations, to control oneself. The Proverbs also offer us significant guidance on that subject of self-control, and we'll look at that this morning. Begin by thinking for just a moment about what the challenge of self-control is. First, you must recognize the need for it, and Solomon points that out in Proverbs 25 and 28. He says, like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. And so he says, if you can't control your spirit, you are as defenseless as a city would be that its fortification walls had been broken down. The world recognizes the need for self-control. If you went on the internet, if you use it and just looked up, how do I develop self-control? There are a number of sites there that give you an 8-point plan as to how to develop self-control. I suggest to you this morning that those are not bad. Solomon's ideas may differ slightly from what human beings tend to say is necessary to develop self-control, because almost all of those things that you read on the internet and from that perspective all have to do with man doing it himself. Man developing his own self-control through his own self-will. Proverbs point out that in and of itself is probably problematic. There's a limit if I'm going to try to achieve something on my own. In Proverbs 21 and verse 2, Solomon says, every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. And then in Proverbs 14, 12, he says, there's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And so the problem with men creating a methodology with which you can develop self-control is that it's very reliant upon man and man's will. And so the basic question is that, is how can a man with all of his imperfections devise a satisfactory method for man to deal with his imperfections? And so the biblical point of view would be that God gives you instruction as to how to go about creating self-control in your own life. And so the Proverbs, I think, would point out the same as it does in all cases of knowledge. One of the general passages in Proverbs, Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So knowledge, true knowledge and wisdom starts with a respect for the Lord and a respect for what he has to say about the way we conduct our lives. And so that would certainly also be true of self-control. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones." And again in Proverbs 23 and verse 26, "Give your heart, my son. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways." And so the first and fundamental point in this lesson is, but once we recognize we need to have self-control in our life, the source of that is to follow the Lord's advice about how to develop our self-control. And so as we continue then to look through the Proverbs, we kind of get that. How do we develop self-control? What does the Proverbs tell us about the development of self-control? The first thing it says is you have to desire it and pursue it. It's not one of those things that's kind of like a birthday wish or something like that. Well, I wish I had more self-control. That doesn't accomplish that. Solomon says you've got to desire it to the extent of pursuing it in your lives. In Proverbs 23 and verse 12, he says, "Apply your heart to discipline and your ears to the words of knowledge." That word apply really suggests an activity that's much more intense than simply having a wish that something might happen without your own help, maybe. Proverbs 15:31 says, "He whose ear listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding." And again in Proverbs 12 and verse 15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." So we must want and desire to develop self-control and pursue it by seeking advice and counsel from those who are in a position to help us obtain it. The Proverbs actually point out that God has provided us with three sources of counsel that will develop our wisdom and help us develop self-control. The first of those is always God. God is the ultimate source for information concerning our development of the character that he would have us to have. And so in Proverbs 16 and verse 9, he says, "The mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps." Proverbs 17 verse 3, "The refining pot is for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests hearts." It is the Lord that provides us the testing that develops the character that we should have. Proverbs 3 and verse 11, "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof." And so we recognize that the true source of wisdom, concerning all aspects of life, and that would be this matter of self-control as well, comes from God. But the Proverbs also say that one's parents can provide the counsel that God would have us have. Now, we want to point out and remember something we said in the very first lesson about the Proverbs, and that is that they are statements of general truth. And you have to look at them from the perspective with which they are being given. And so Solomon is speaking his advice here in the Proverbs. And particularly in this point and the next one, the thing we need to understand is that he's speaking this advice from the perspective that parents want their children to grow up and do what's right. And so that generally speaking, and that doesn't mean that you can't find some child somewhere who has a parent who is ungodly and doesn't really want care about their development. But Solomon is writing this from the perspective that the general parents want their children to be respectable citizens. They want them to develop and be a positive contributor to the society in which they live. So Solomon says of this in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you." And in Proverbs 2, Solomon is speaking to his sons. He says, "Make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding." And so parents, if they have the real interest in their child's development, will give them advice about how to develop these things, give them correction when they get off path. Proverbs 6, verse 20. "My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. And when you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you." And Proverbs 7, verses 1 through 3. "My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart." And so Solomon's advice is listen to the counsel of your parents who are concerned about you and want you to develop properly. Then the third source that is mentioned in the Proverbs of this counsel from God is other individuals. In Proverbs 27 and verse 5, Solomon says, "Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy." And so he says, those who really care about you will say to you the things that you actually need to hear and will help you develop and discipline yourselves and develop self-control. He speaks at it from the other perspective, the individual's willingness to receive correction. Excuse me, I went too fast here. Proverbs 12 and verse 1, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid." Recognize the value when someone is trying to teach you something, even if it's not pleasant at the time. And Proverbs 9, verses 7 through 9, "He who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself, and he who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning." And so Solomon says, you need to be the kind of person that is able to receive corrective instruction and build upon that. And so, can't depend upon that clock. We haven't started yet according to that. So I have one other point, and then we'll be done with that. And that is the Proverbs talk about how self-control is exhibited in our lives. And it talks about it both from a negative standpoint and a positive standpoint. That is, self-control can help you avoid some things that are unpleasant in your life. Or that self-control can help you produce certain positive characteristics in your life. And so self-control is exhibited in our lives by what it enables us to avoid. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not proceed in the way of the evil man. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil. They are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And so he says, if you develop this self-control yourself, you will be able to say no when those who are wicked try to get you to walk in their path. But then from the other perspective, I got another passage on that. I didn't read Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 27. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. And so that idea that the control of oneself will keep you on the right path, and you will avoid the problems of evil influences. And then the second part of that is that this self-control produces fruit in our life. It puts us, Solomon says, on the way of life. Proverbs 10:17, he is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who ignores reproof goes astray. In Proverbs 23:19, listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. And so it produces a life that is characterized by being in the right way. It leads to what Proverbs 16:32 calls victorious living. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. And so the one who can develop self-control is a conqueror in a very important way. And so there are many more proverbs on this subject that could have been cited. I had 4 pages worth of proverbs and had to cut them down to just what I thought we could cover here in our time this morning. But these words of wisdom should provide us an affirmation of the importance for the child of God to heed God's words and to develop self-control in our lives. And so I'm scheduled to do this again next week, and we mentioned the other night when we were studying James on the tongue that that passage in James has the second greatest number of thoughts about the tongue, and so I decided I would just couple that with what we've been studying in James. And so next Sunday morning, Lord willing, we'll look at what the Proverbs have to say about the tongue the admonitions that Solomon gives us there about our use of our tongues. And so that will wrap up this really short series of subject matter from the Proverbs. I didn't look beforehand. Cliff has prayer. Okay, Chris is going to take that.